You are listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday evening, September 2nd. Brother Mark Butler preaches a message entitled, God the Deliverer.
Again, it's a blessing to be in here, and it's a blessing to preach. I tell you, I love to preach, and anytime, whether it be, I love to preach here, and just, it's a blessing. And if you say you don't like to preach, and if you're called to preach, there's something wrong. You ought to love to preach. I love to preach. I'm excited about the opportunities that Dr. Smale has given to me to preach in chapel every other week. I'm excited about that. I'm excited to be able to preach wherever I go, if I have an opportunity. And you preacher boys, you ought to take opportunities. And anytime you have an opportunity to preach, you preach. And you let God use you. But it's just something about when you could take God's word and preach God's word is a blessing. Growing up, I grew up in a home that was not a Christian home. In the when I was very young, later on I did, but in the first stage of my life, I was 6-7 years old. I rode a Sunday school bus to a Baptist church in San Antonio. A bus came by and picked up my brothers and myself, and we got to ride a Sunday school bus. And I went there because they gave out prizes on the bus, and so that was my favorite. And so I enjoyed riding the, I don't even remember my bus workers. I was so little back then, but I remember the prizes they gave us. That was neat. You know, I remember they had a cup that they gave us one time. It was a little drinking cup. It was about that big, but you could take it and you can lift it up like that. It's like an accordion type of cup. And that, I still remember that to this day, that one of that prizes. Then the other, one of the gifts they gave us was a, it's like a little comic. It was a Christian comic where it's like a leaflet. You open it up, and there's just a picture of some place, Bible history place, whatever, just some buildings and land. And then you have this clear sheet of paper with all the animals and all the Bible characters, and you put it on there, and you rub it, and you pull it off, and it sticks them on there. I remember that as a kid going to church. But, you know, all that time that I went to church as a little boy, a long time ago, as a little boy, 7-8 years old, going to church, my mom and dad didn't go to church, and they would drink Friday nights, Saturday nights, sleep in Sundays, and we would ride the Sunday school bus. And but it is such a blessing today to be able to stand here and say that my family is saved. My dad got saved, and later on, I was about 9 when he got saved, and then I got saved at 9 years of age, and my mom got saved, my brothers got saved, and our life changed from there. And my dad pastored for many, many years, and he's still preaching, still soul winning, and it is just an honor to be able to keep on what my dad gave to me. And as I stand here, I have boys that I brought up to serve God. And I know that Daniel's called to be a missionary to Brazil, but my prayer is that my boys will carry on the things that was given to me from my father and those things that are so precious. I tell you, it is a precious thing to serve God. Yes. And even though we live in a day and age where it seems unpopular anymore to live for God, we're living in a day and age that's kind of different. Things are changing. I'm still proud to stand here and say that I worship the true and living God. Amen. And I am proud to stand up here and say I'm a Baptist, amen. And not only am I a Baptist, I'm an independent fundamental Baptist, and I'm proud of it. And I'm very excited that we have a pastor that still stands for the old-time religion and is not afraid to preach it. And let us men stand behind our pastor. And what a blessing. I was blessed this morning hearing Dr. Smale preach, and I tell you, that was an encouragement. And just the truth he brought out. And thank the Lord for Dr. Smale, what he, God used him this morning. And I just want God to use me tonight. You know, I'm not here to try to impress anybody. What would impress me if I impress God? And impressing God is doing what God wants you to do, obey him. And God wants to use you, he wants to use me, and I want to be used of God. So if you would take your Bible again, and I'm going to move this mic, and I'm going to use this mic over here. I want to preach tonight on deliverance. You know, this is one area that I believe that most Christians struggle in, if not all Christians struggle with something in their life they need God's help with. They need deliverance in their life. And And I want to help you tonight. I believe this. I believe it doesn't matter who you are. And I tell you, probably teenagers are probably the one group that struggles most in the area of deliverance. Things that you struggle with. Whether you're a young man or a young lady, you're struggling with things in your life right now. Maybe it's temptations, bad habits, things that you're doing are things that are pulling you away from God. And there's a lot of things that, as teenagers, I remember as a teenager how that even though I wasn't always what I should be, and I got in trouble and I did my share of wrong, in my heart, down deep in my heart, in my soul as a teenager, I wanted God to use me. And I hungered, and I spent most of my time as a teenager praying for God to deliver me from things in my life. Struggles I had, things that were temptations, sin, things that were weaknesses, things that were pulling me away from God. Most of my prayers as a teenager is, God, just help me. I mean, there was probably other teenagers in our youth group that didn't need that, but I did. Every day I needed God to deliver me from something that was trying to snare me, something that was trying to pull me away from Him. But I believe even as we grow older and we get our teen years, we still struggle with things that we need help with. Things that maybe it's just something that complacent, you get complacent. Lord, I'm just getting to the point where I go to church and I'm just complacent. I'm just there. And I just sit in church. I just can't wait for it to be over just to get out. I'm there because I know I have to be there. I know that I need to be there because my kids are watching me, but I have no desire to be there anymore. But Lord, deliver me from that complacency. Deliver me from this complacency that I have. And I've been there. I tell you, there's been times where I would get through different situations in the ministry. Even as a pastor, I became complacent. I'd get behind the pulpit and preach, and I'm thinking, I don't want to be a pastor. I don't want to do this. And I would have to ask God to help me through that and to give me that strength and then revive me again. But it's deliverance, whether it be deliverance because we get complacent. Maybe it's deliverance because we're bitter. We have some bitterness towards someone. We're bitter towards someone in the church. And we need God's deliverance in that area, whether it be maybe deliverance over some sin. Now, let me just stop and say this. As men, as daddies of our families and husbands, Satan is going to come after you men like he doesn't come after anybody else. Because he knows if he can knock down the father, he knows if he can tear down the daddy, he can tear down the husband, he's going to tear down the home. And I tell you, Satan has come to me over and over again trying to destroy my life, but I had to stand strong and I had to ask God's help. But here, everyone here tonight, whether you're a man or a lady, a mom or a dad, a husband or a wife, the devil's attacking. I mean, you don't have to look very far and you don't have to listen very long to find out, Dr. Smell, that preachers are being attacked today by Satan. There are men of God that are being torn down and fallen down, and men of God that are brought to their knees by just a piece of bread, as the Bible says. People that at one time stood for the truth, people that we looked up to that fallen. And these are good people that just made some bad choices. These are good people that made a decision and they yielded to something that they shouldn't have. And again, I praise the Lord, we have a man of God that stands for right and truth and godliness. We have a pastor that just believes in living right and doing right and taking a stand, for he understands that there are people watching him. And I praise the Lord, we ought to pray for our pastor. But I know as men, there's going to be struggles. And it might be that there's some man in this room right here that you're struggling. Maybe you're struggling with the thought of leaving your wife, and you're going through this process and that thought. Maybe it's a thought that you're thinking about leaving your husband. Maybe it's that thought of thinking that you're going to get into some sin. Maybe some teenager here, you're thinking about getting into something. Or maybe you already got into something. You're listening to the wrong kind of music. You're listening to the wrong kind of advice. You're hanging around with the wrong kind of people. And you say, Brother Butler, I don't want this, but I'm starting to yield to it. And it's pulling me that direction. There's some things going on in my life that my mom and dad don't know about. There's some things going on in my life that my wife doesn't know about. I thank the Lord that I have a nosy wife. Amen. My wife will walk up to me and I'll take my phone and I'll set it down. I'll go do something. And I turn around and she's going through all my phone, checking it out. And I praise the Lord for that. And I thank the Lord that my wife she always wants to know where I'm at, what you're doing, because she loves me. My wife wants to make sure that her husband stays close to God. And now, you know, we need accountability. You know, the Bible says it's not good for man to be alone. Amen. We need a wife to keep us in line. And I praise the Lord for my wife and for her encouragement and helping me. But we need that. Our children need that. They need that accountability. But you say, Brother Butler, tonight I am struggling. I'm struggling in some area of my life, whether it be as a man or it be as a lady, a husband or a wife, or maybe as a teenager or a child or whoever you are. You say, I'm struggling, I'm drifting away, and I'm getting into things I shouldn't get into, or there's some things I got into I want to get out of, and I can't seem to get out of it. You know, I believe that deliverance starts, number one, it starts by you wanting to be delivered. If you have no desire to be delivered, if you enjoy your sin and you want to stay in that sin and you say, well, I like my sin and I enjoy what I'm doing in my sin, but I wish God would deliver me. God will never deliver you until you decide you want to be delivered. You need to be, see, we remember the story of Jonah and the whale, how Jonah was in the belly of the big fish and he went down in the depths of the sea. It wasn't until Jonah cried unto God and asked God to deliver him and got right with God, then God delivered him from that bondage. It wasn't until the children of Israel, when they were in Egypt, and there in Egypt, it wasn't until they started crying out to God and say, God, deliver us from this bondage, that God says, I'm going to send you a deliverer. I believe it starts with a desire from our heart to be delivered. Look at the Bible again to Daniel chapter 3. Verse number 16, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is what? Able to deliver us from the burning fire furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. Here we have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were in a situation that they were going to be thrown into a fiery furnace. And they would not bow. We know the story how that King Nebuchadnezzar, he said, you had to bow down to the image that was made of me. And if you don't bow down and worship it, you'll be thrown in the fiery furnace. And that time came and the instruments were played that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they did not bow down. They just stood their ground. They decided, we're going to live right. I wonder how many other Christians bowed down. I wonder how many other preachers bowed down. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those preacher boys from Lone Star Baptist College, decided, we're not going to bow down. You get discouraged and you see others bowing down. You get discouraged and you see people that you look up to bowing down. You say, well, those people were good people. Those people loved God. Those people were preachers. They serve God and they're bowing down. Maybe I should bow down. No, let me encourage you tonight to just stand your ground. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Amen. Hey, we need to decide tonight that we're not going to bow down. When I was in San Antonio, Texas, I was an assistant pastor for a church there. And how I believe there, I've had the same Bible, same beliefs, same standards. We left there, we went to New Mexico. I was odd to them. It was different. I was a rare species. I mean, they've never seen anybody like me. And the things I preach and the way I preach and the things that we did and this thing of soul winning. But come to find out, the longer I was there, the more I found out they used to do that. They used to go soul winning. They used to have the standards. Oh, they talk about the 70s, how they used to have that. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego decided, they made a decision. I don't believe they made that decision, Dr. Bulkley, right there and then. That decision was made a long time ago. I called a guy that graduated Bible college with me, and we were talking on the phone. He was a pastor, I was a pastor, we're talking back and forth. Start talking about things to do with how people ought to live and how Christians ought to live their life and how they ought to be separated. And he's like, well, I don't know about all that anymore. And he started going off in this thing. And I said, you know what? I said, I was brought up under Dr. Tom Malone. He preached this. I was brought up under Dr. Jack Howells. He preached this. And, you know, if it was good for them, it's good for me. And then, you know, I told him this. I told him, Brother Palmore, I told him, you know what? I'm not smart enough to figure it out on myself. I'm going to trust the people that God's given to me. I'm going to trust mom and dad, amen. Hey, I'm going to trust my preachers, amen. I'm going to trust the word of God and realize that God, his truth, the word of God, the truth that he has in his word, hey, he's smarter than me. If God said to do it, I'm not going to argue. I'm just going to do it. And folks, tonight we need to go ahead and nail it down. Hey, young people, you teenagers, you nail it down where you stand, what you believe in. Because I'm going to tell you, down the road, 10, 15 years down the road, there's going to be some teenagers in this group here that won't believe it anymore. They might be totally out of church, not even serving God, living out in the world, living in sin. And you look at them and you wonder, hey, were you ever living for God? Did you ever have a conviction, or did you ever believe what you said you believed? Let it be that 10, 15, 20 years from now, when you come to the church here and you're a pastor and you come here, that you're still that kind of pastor. Hey, I'm still an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, soul-winning, devil-hating Baptist preacher. And it does not matter what anybody else does. That's who I am. That's what God wanted me to be, and I'm going to stay that way. We need to make that decision now, because the time's going to come that the temptations are going to be there. I was in a small town, and I was in the process of starting a church. And as a young preacher boy, I was 23 years old. And this pastor across town had an established church, buildings, and they had money in the church. They had all these things. And he called me up and he says, hey, I'm leaving the pastor. I'm taking another church somewhere else. I'm wondering if you'd be interested in candidating for this church. And you know, as a young preacher boy, I was excited about it. I said, yes, sir, I definitely would. I mean, I'm going from meeting in a hotel room with 15 people to take in a church ready, running probably over 100, 200 people. Established buildings that probably paid off. Yes, I'm interested. When can I come? And he goes, I have one question for you before I let you come. And he asked me a question. He says, what do you believe in standards? And he asked me some questions about standards. And it's, by the way, tonight's not my job to preach about standards. But he said, what do you think about these standards? I said, well, I told him this is not what I think, preacher. It's what the Bible says. And I read the verse to him, and I said, the Bible says this. And he says, okay, that's all I need to know. We're not interested. And he hung up. And the thing is, as a young preacher boy, that's very discouraging to think that, is there anybody that believes it anymore? Hey, folks, tonight we need to decide tonight that we have a God and believe that God is worth serving. A God that, hey, he's a God that can do anything. And folks, tonight I believe is a God also that can deliver us from anything we're going through. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I called to the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. I am saved from mine enemies. Psalms 18, verse 1 through 3. Throughout the Bible, read the words, deliver, 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 deliverance. These are powerful words when you realize your Lord rescues and or delivers his children from evil. Hey, I have a deliverer, amen. Hey, folks, tonight, it doesn't matter who you are tonight. It doesn't matter what you're struggling with. You say, there is something in my life. There's a pet sin in my life I'm struggling with. I feel defeated over it, and I can't overcome it, and it's keeping me from going forward. I want to be a preacher. I want to serve God, but the sin in my life is keeping me from surrendering because I know with this sin, God can't use me. Folks, tonight, let me say, it doesn't matter what sin it is. It doesn't matter how deep you've gone into sin. God will deliver you if you want to be delivered. To deliver is to set free from bondage. I believe tonight, folks, are you hungry? I tell you, there was things in my life I struggled with, and I still struggle with things in my life, and every day we have to ask God to deliver us from temptations, deliver us from things in our life. But I know as a time in my life I was really struggling with some things, and I needed God's help. But really, it had to come to the point where I just told God with all my heart that, God, I want to be delivered. See, a lot of times we tell God, God, deliver me, and we keep on doing it and enjoying it. But there has to come a point in your life where you come to God and say, God, I'm sick of it. I'm tired of my sin. I'm tired of what I'm doing. And God, I need you to deliver me. My dad, before he got saved, was driving down the road. And, oh, a few days before that, my dad got into some drugs and some other things and almost died. He had to go to the hospital. He almost died over an overdose and some drugs before he got saved. My dad was driving in San Antonio. His boys were going to Sunday school on a bus. He wasn't going to church. He didn't want to talk to the church folks. He was driving down the road, and my dad, oh, it's been maybe 7, 8 years ago, drove me to the spot. We're in the car together, and he said, Mark, he says, right here's the spot where I rolled down the window and I reached my hand up to heaven. I said, God, if you're there, help me. Help me. And folks, tonight, a lost man can cry unto God, and God sent a young lady to my dad and invited him to revival services. My dad got saved. His life was changed. He's a changed man and lives for God and preaches against sin. And folks, tonight, the same God that delivered my dad from hell and from those things is the same God that delivers him from day to day. Psalms 86 verse 15 says, but thou, O Lord, art a God of full of compassions and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. The truth about God is that he is a deliverer, the Savior. Faith and doubt gets us nowhere. Faith inspires. Doubt paralyzes. Faith says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Unbelief does nothing. Faith in God is exciting. Unbelief is depressing. Why don't we come to God and say, God, I believe you can do it. Lord, I'm at that point tonight that I need to get this thing right. I need deliverance. I'm in bondage. Many times we're embarrassed by our bondage. We can't talk to people about it. There's people, if I tell mom and dad, I'll be embarrassed if they knew. If I told my wife, I'd be embarrassed. If I told my husband, I'd be embarrassed. But folks, tonight, what we need to understand is that Satan doesn't care about all that. Satan is in the work of stealing and killing and destroying. And he wants to destroy your home. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to destroy the ministry. We need to come tonight and realize, hey, be humble and say, God, I need deliverance tonight. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto me and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him. Amen. And saved them out of all his troubles. 35 times fear of man is referred to the scriptures. The fear of God is referred 160 times. We ought to respect and reverence and honor. We ought to honor and have no fear of man. 80 times man is told not to fear, referring to fears that should not distress anyone who trusts in God. We need to come to God and say, God, I'm not going to fear. You know, there are preachers today that are bowing down to the world. They're giving in because it's hard. I mean, we're going to experience here in the next few years. We're going to experience as a church the trials that we've never experienced before. There's going to be persecutions to the Christians that they've never been before. And truly, I pray to God, Brother Allen, I hope and pray to God that I could still stand at that time. I don't know. I hope and pray to God. I want to, and I believe I will, but it's hard to say that without being there. But you young preacher boys and young people here, you're going to have a day as an adult that you're going to have some trials come in your life. The world is going to persecute you for where you stand. But you know, that time, when that time comes, if you say, well, brother, will I still stand at that time? Well, for me and you, I guess what we need to do is nail it down right now. Hey, what do we believe? Hey, do we believe in God? Do we believe the word of God? Do we believe the things that are preached to us? Do we believe the truth? Is it right? Is right? Is right? Is wrong? Is wrong? If it is, hey, let's just keep on doing it. Let's just keep on that path. Let's just decide, hey, we're going to just do this. Hey, you know what? The Lord says, he said, don't be afraid of them that can kill the body, but rather fear him that can kill body and cast soul into hell. You know, the worst the world can do to us is kill the body, but we'll be in heaven. I like what John R. Rice, there was a man that came up, I believe it was John R. Rice, and pointed a gun to his stomach and told him he's going to blow his brains out. I'm going to blow your brains out. And anyway, John Rice told that young man, he says, you can't scare me with heaven. I probably wouldn't have said that. I probably would have screamed and gave him my money. I don't know. But the thing is tonight is we need to understand that the world out there, the pressure from the world, the pressure from Satan. Satan knows, and he doesn't give up, and the pressure's there. And you say, Brother Butler, you know, I get discouraged. And I'm going to tell you, I can't say tonight that I don't get discouraged. And I have gotten discouraged over some news I've received in the past few months. Pretty discouraging news. But I just praise the Lord tonight that I still stand where God wants me to stand. I'm still serving God. And I need to understand that it's not because of me, it's because of God. And I need God's help to do that every day. Because I could fall today, I could fall tomorrow. I know, Lord, without you, I can't stand. I need your help. But folks, tonight, when you get discouraged by those things, hey, realize that we're not to lay our eyes on man, but we're to put our eyes on God and realize that God never fails. Hey, remember Elijah came to God and he said, Lord, he says, I'm the only one that haven't bowed down. God says, no, I've reserved many of preachers that have not bowed down. Let me just encourage you tonight that you, when you get discouraged thinking that people are falling away, there's a group of people like Dr. Wells that God says, I reserve that have not and will not bow the knee to Baal. Amen. And folks, tonight, let us understand that the same God that can help us, the same God that can encourage, the same God that can deliver us. Here's some things I believe that God delivers us from. Number one, he delivers us from the fear of death. Psalms 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley. I love this. Though I walk through the valley of death. No. Though I walk through the valley of the. Folks, it's just a shadow. See, the world can't take us away. Amen. Hey, we got a home in heaven. Hey, you know what? It's just a shadow. Hey, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. And the Bible tells us here, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And Hebrews 2, verse 15, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Folks, tonight, God can deliver you from the fear of death. You know, a lot of times we fear death. I'm scared to die. I'm scared. Maybe tonight you're afraid because maybe you have something wrong with you physically. And you're fearful of death. You know, God has promised us that he will give us the grace to get through whatever. And if you're saved today and you're a child of God today and you love God, God's going to get you through whatever it is that you're going through. It doesn't matter what it is. Maybe the fear of death. Maybe it's a fear of the future. Genesis 46 speaks there. It says, and God spake unto Israel in a vision of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will make, I will there make thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. Maybe we fear our future. Folks, tonight, let us be encouraged. If we're serving God, some of you are going to be called to be missionaries. And you say, well, I'm fearful what might happen if I go to another country. Well, I'm fearful what's going to happen with my children. I'm fearful what's going to happen with my life. Let us tonight realize that we have a God that can, he can deliver us from those fears. We don't have to live with those fears tonight. We also see deliverance. We have a promise that God will deliver us from the fear of danger. In Exodus, it says, and Moses said unto the people of Israel saw the Egyptians coming up behind them. They got scared. And there they are at the Red Sea and the Egyptians coming behind them. They were scared and said, hey, Moses, was there not enough graves in Egypt to bury us? What are you going to do? You're going to let us die here? And Moses talked to God and God told him to tell him. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. Which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you've seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. He delivers from danger. You say, I'm fearful of what might happen, and I'm scared. You know, we have a society today, our world today is changing. You know, as Christians, I'm fearful of danger. Hey, folks, realize that God is with you. If God be for me, who can be against me? Hey, no weapon that's formed against me shall prosper. My God is my deliverer. He's my friend. My God will deliver me from all danger. When I was pastoring the church, we're going through some pretty tough times and people were threatening and things were going really bad. And I called a pastor pledger and Pastor Pledger in Florida, Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Wells, every time he goes down to Jacksonville, Florida on vacation down there, he goes to his church, and I believe he preaches. Pastor Pledger was my first pastor after we got saved in the Independent Baptist Church back in Vermont, 1981. I called Pastor Pledger as a young preacher, and I said, Pastor Pledger, I'm going through this. What do I do? And he says, when you're scared, when problems are happening, he says, just get on your knees every morning and ask God not to let their weapons that are formed against you to prosper. And you let God take care of it. And don't fear. Don't worry about it. God will deliver us from the fear of danger. God also will deliver us from the fear of evil. Matthew 6:13, and lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He'll deliver us from evil. People, you say there's evil people that want to do me wrong. You pray for them. And you pray that God will deliver you from the evil people, from evil, whatever it might be. I see another thing that God delivers us. God delivers from the fear of our enemies. It says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I praise the Lord tonight that I have a God that, hey, he understands the enemies and God will take care of the enemies. We were in Vermont. My dad was pastoring a church there, and there was a man that threatened my dad. He told my dad he was going to kill him. And it was a threat. Over there, I mean, when they said it, they did it. He threatened he's going to kill my dad. And it wasn't maybe a month or two later that this man ended up getting killed. I forget what happened. He ended up getting killed. But God will take care of the enemy. You just do what's right. You don't fear the enemy. The Bible says don't be fearful. Don't be dismayed at their faces. When they start making those faces and they get angry at you and they don't like where you stand and they threaten you. You don't fear your enemies, but you give your enemies to God. Say, God, you take care of my enemies. I can't deal with that. Maybe tonight we need deliverance in the area of just fear alone. I just fear. I have fear. I don't know what for. I like Psalms 34 verse number four, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. All my fears. It doesn't matter. You say, well, I'm scared to go to bed at night. I'm just fearful. Had a man in our church that was, he got into something, but he was seeing demons and these little demons were coming in his house and they were all over his room and he couldn't sleep. And he called me up and he said, Brother Butler, I don't know what to do. And this is when I was assistant pastor. I said, take your family, come over to my house tonight. He came over to my house. I put him in the boy's room and we prayed. And in the morning I asked him what happened. He goes, they came last night. I said, what happened? He says, but they didn't come in the room. They were like at the window. They wouldn't come in, but they were there. But after that, God gave them victory over it. And if anything, it was just that God gave them the peace to realize that God's in control. But the last thing I want to talk about, I'll end the sermon with this. And I believe this is probably the one area that really needs to be hit tonight, is the area God needs to deliver us from, the area of darkness and bondage of sin. Luke 8:35, then they went out to see what was done, and he came to Jesus and found the man of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They were afraid because nobody else could help this man. They were afraid because, I mean, Dr. Spock and Dr. Brown and Dr. whoever could not help this man. I mean, nobody. They tried to bound him with chains. He would break the chains and the fetters, and he would cut himself and scream. He was a wild man, but Jesus came, and Jesus called to him, and Jesus helped him, and Jesus delivered him from sin and from bondage of darkness. And that man sat there clothed in his right mind. I like the story how that when Jesus was leaving, he wanted to go with him. He let me go with you. I want to go. But if you know the story, they kicked Jesus out of there. They didn't want him there. So he told him, no, you stay here because you need to be the preacher here. I can't. See, that's a sermon itself. There's some people that Jesus can't reach that you can. Think about it. There, Jesus wants to use you. He wants to use you to reach people. And here we find that this man was in bondage of sin and darkness, and there Jesus helped him. The Bible says, he brought me up also of a horrible pit and out of a miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Look at Daniel chapter 3 again, if you would. Daniel chapter 3. What happened to Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego? Well, they were taken. They were thrown into the fiery furnace. And there in that fiery furnace, they were burning. Well, they were hoping they were going to burn there. Look at verse number 21, chapter number 3. Then these men were bound in their coats and their hosen and their hats and their other garments and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished. He was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men. I see four men, but notice, they were loose. They were loose. Four men loose walking in the midst of the fire and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Here we find that these men that were bound, these men that were going to be cast in a fiery furnace, when they were cast in, the Bible says that the fires burned up the cords. Jesus took the cords off of them. And Jesus was there in the midst of the fire. To know God is to understand, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present, things that come, nor heights nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want to read you a story and I'll finish with this. It's a true story about a young lady that was a homosexual young lady. They got caught up in the homosexual lifestyle. Now listen as I try to read it quickly. True story. Sometimes because you have something missing in your life, you don't do things to compensate those things that you're missing. That's what happened to me, this young lady's story. I'm a 22-year-old woman who has been saved since I was 8 years old. Over the past 7 years, my life has been slowly going downhill due to circumstances all around me. My mother being diagnosed with anorexia, major depression, the loss of my father through the withdrawing from our family, quitting college because of depression, endless relationships with men that ended in tragedy. I remember for some time, due to the influence of my mother, I was very conscious of my weight and appearance. I always looked at the girls around me, comparing myself to them. Somehow, through the constant viewing, comparing, looking, I found myself becoming interested in women. It was a dangerous thing. I left school after 1.5 years due to major depression. I could not concentrate in school, and there were two guys that I had dated that went there, and I could not take the stress. I met Sarah, a lesbian, not too far from me. During this period of life, I cared for no one but myself. I did drugs, did a considerable amount of cigarette smoking, drank continuously. I was so depressed. I was so anxious, and I was so far away from God. I don't know if it were the people praying for me or God himself reaching out to me in his mercy. But one day I had decided to leave the lifestyle and the club, which I made my home. I knew everyone there and we were all a family. I decided that on that night to tell her that I could not see her anymore. I sat down with her in a small booth in the back of the restaurant. There I told her that I could not see her anymore. And that I needed time to think. This was one of the scariest things I had ever done in my life. I was giving up my friends and my family. And I had to trust God, but would he deliver me? God came to me that night. God heard me. Even in my wretched sin, God heard my plea for the life I once knew. And he came to me that night. Since then, I have never been the same. I can proudly say now that I have a wonderful relationship with a Christian man. We encourage each other all the time in Christ. For a long time after all of this occurred, I struggled continuously. I truly believe that it is a choice I've made to bring this sin into my life. And now I am praying the consequences for the loss and the loved ones and friends. Yes, I do struggle, but God is in control. When I feel this way, I pray. When I don't feel that way, I pray. And I can honestly say that God has supplied all my needs. Trust me, friends. Trust in the Lord. He will deliver you like he delivered me. God is a deliverer. What is it in your life that you need to be delivered from? Jesus beheld them
and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. As I finish the sermon tonight, and as I give you my heart tonight, as a man, as a Christian, as a preacher that have struggled all through my life in areas of sin that God had delivered me from, let me encourage you tonight, no matter who you are, that God can deliver you from whatever you are going through. Whatever struggles you're in, whatever bondage Satan has you in tonight. But you have to do this tonight. You have to come tonight to God. You have to yield to God. You have to say, God, I'm tired of my sin. I yield it to you right now. And if you tonight with a sincere heart will yield your life and this sin or this bondage or whatever it is in your life that you're dealing with tonight and truly say, God, I'm tired of it. I give it up to you. I give it to you now. God can and God will deliver you. But do you believe it? And are you willing to do it tonight?
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. Or if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you come visit our church.